To those who would be saved, Jesus makes this appeal. Strive to enter through the narrow door. To those who would dismiss him and his teaching and who would not enter, he issues this warning. The master will say to you, I do not know where you are from. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you yourselves are cast out. Jesus has a way with words, doesn't he? He really knows how to grab your attention. Jesus speaking in this way always has a sobering effect on me. In fact, I can find myself feeling more than a little intimidated. Before the incarnation, God made a series of covenants with his people, the Old Testament covenants. These always involved blessings and curses, blessings that would flow from the people's faithfulness to the covenant, and curses that would follow upon unfaithfulness. Jesus came to establish the final covenant, the new and everlasting covenant, and to preach the good news. Today, Jesus fixes our attention on the curses, as it were, that follow upon rejection of the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's this pointed accent, this discipline, that I personally can find daunting. I know, however, as you well know, that Jesus is the good shepherd who doesn't want his flock living in fear. Because he wants to protect us, we who possess intellect and free will, he seeks to make us aware of and understand clearly what is at stake as far as our spiritual destiny is concerned. He does this often quite directly and forcefully, as we hear him do today. And in his honesty, he today tells us great effort is required for entrance into God's kingdom. Not only that, but we must seize the present opportunity to enter, because the narrow door will not remain open indefinitely. Today, Jesus doesn't expound on the manifold blessings promised to those who enter through the narrow door, even though the theme of beatitude, of blessing, is central to the good news he brings. Neither does Jesus today detail what form our striving should take. He directs us to strive, but he doesn't say how. How are we to strive to enter through the narrow door? A full and complete answer to that question is to be found in the body of Scripture, in the church's tradition, and the experience of spiritual masters down through the centuries. Jesus, of course, himself has plenty to say elsewhere in the Scriptures. The resources available to us to find an answer are vast. But for our purposes this morning, let me give emphasis to just one facet of an answer to the question about entering through the narrow door. That being our cooperation with God's Holy Spirit. At the Last Supper, Jesus promised his apostles another advocate who would guide them to all truth. And so it is that through Jesus, the Father sends the Holy Spirit into the world to guide the church and to guide each of us personally as members of the body of Christ. When Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door, I think he is saying, strive with the guidance, strength, aid, and consolation of the Holy Spirit to enter through the narrow door. In our efforts to grasp something of the nature of God, the Holy Spirit in particular, we have to fall back on analogy, on images and symbols. We have symbols that capture something of who the Holy Spirit is. The dove, fire, and water. Water is a helpful symbol of the Spirit. Water is life-giving and life-sustaining. Knowing the vital nature of water, appreciating its necessity and its benefits at the natural level, we can come to a little better understanding of what the Holy Spirit does for us supernaturally. It is the supernatural life in the Spirit that the psalmist prays for. O God, You are my God. For You I long. For You my soul is thirsting. My body pines for You like a dry, weary land without water. When Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, He said to her, If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. The gift of God and the spring of water Jesus speaks of is the Holy Spirit. Just as we know the benefits of water because we experience the natural life-giving effects of water firsthand every day, we come to better know the Holy Spirit by paying attention to His supernatural life-giving action in our lives. Let's suppose you become aware of a personal fault or shortcoming that you need to correct or improve. You determine to work on it. Perhaps you take it to confession. Would this be just a random occurrence, or might it be evidence that God is touching you through His Holy Spirit? I recommend that you practice looking for this kind of evidence of the Spirit's working in your life. You go out of your way to show kindness to someone. You resolve to tell the truth, even when you fear negative consequences, embarrassment at least. You decide not to pass on a tidbit of gossip. You refrain from watching a certain movie or TV show or from visiting a certain website because you know the content will be bad for you. Any or all of these could stem from purely human virtue, just good habits. Possibly, but I think there's a good chance that experiences such as these are evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, moving us, guiding us to do the good. Develop an awareness of these experiences. Be thankful for them. Take encouragement from them. Pray for more of them. As awareness grows, the Holy Spirit becomes real, no longer just an abstraction. Recognizing the Holy Spirit's action, the presence of His guidance and strength, and feeling gratified and encouraged, you'll find yourself saying, "Well, will you look at that? There He is. And, you know, I can do this." If we intend to do what Jesus today directs us to do, to strive to enter through the narrow door, the Holy Spirit is our indispensable ally. Cultivating our relationship with the Holy Spirit, then, is one way we strive. With the psalmist, we pray, "Rescue me, Lord, from my enemies. I have fled to You for refuge. Teach me to do Your will, for You, O Lord, are my God. Let Your good Spirit guide me in ways that are level and smooth."